Hello and welcome to episode 14 of the Poolside Pass podcast. On today's episode, I'm joined by Ben Whitten, head coach at the City of Belfast Swimming Club. Ben's going to be speaking to us about how he uses USRPT within his club programme, a training method which I know for some is quite a controversial method to use, so it'll be interesting to discuss with Ben the ins and outs of how he uses that programme. Before we get into the interview with Ben, just a quick word from our sponsors, Streamlined. Become a qualified swimming teacher with Streamlined in as little as 6 days. Learn at your own pace and be guided by our expert tutors. You can do your training face-to-face, online in real-time, or a combination of the two. Assessment can be in your club using videos or attending one of our assessment venues. We offer tailored, high-quality support. Quote, the Poolside Pass for an extra 10% discount. So, I think it's about time I introduce Ben. Ben, welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
How are you today?
All good. How are you?
Yes, not bad. Why don't we just start by getting a little bit of background from yourself in terms of the sport and coaching?
So I was a competitive swimmer. I was quite a late starter. I was 13 when I actually got into the sport. Previously, I'd played all just everything. I was sports mad. Yeah. Tried to get into as much of it as I could, and then I went to secondary school, and again just trying to try different sports, try different things, and end up going to the school's competition. I actually turned up in like boardy shorts. You know, everyone else is in there at the time, so the suits were in, so everyone was in suits and I was in literally like surfer board shorts.
Yeah.
had no idea. And I actually think I ended up winning the breaststroke. I think it was 100 breaststroke. And then got to go down to Dublin. And then a coach approached me and he said, you know, do you swim for a club? And I was like, no. And he said, you know, do you want to come down and try it out? And then that's basically where it started from. You know, I was okay competitive swimmer. Got to, you know, national medalist level. And then found my way into coaching. I did my level one. Initially I was teaching and I learned the swim program.
Right.
And I just really loved it. And the chairman of the club at the time basically just approached me and he just went, you know, I've heard really good reports and of watching you, and you seem to be really good and really passionate about this. He says, I think you should, you know, maybe go and give it a good go as a career. And I was sort of, you know, humming, and I was still in school at the time, so it was like, I don't know, maybe. And then the more I did it, more I enjoyed it. I went off to university and I then got the opportunity to coach within a club program, thrown in right in the deep end, using and just basically implementing what I had done during my time swimming and competing.
And then
sort of, I think unexpectedly, the talks sort of happened about the club taking on a head coach for the first time, and basically I was just given the opportunity to do that, and I took it, and then here we are, I suppose. A couple of seasons later, and we're here. And that's really it, you know. So basically, I was always the I think during the time sort of competing and training, you know, I was always probably one of the hardest workers in the pool.
Yeah.
But really lacked self belief and met myself, you know, to go on and really say, you know, well, I can be a top level athlete. I just up here, I just didn't have it. It's something I've had to work really hard on, I think, transitioning into coaching. You know, and just that self belief. But I think, you know, looking back at the way I was, you know, 5-6 years ago when I was competing to the way I am now, I'm a completely different person in terms of confidence and stuff. So yeah, big changes there.
That's good. And I think, you know, like yourself, I was always someone that worked hard, but I was never, and inside, I knew I was never going to be able to compete at the top level. And that's how I kind of really found my way into coaching. And I knew that was a way that I could still stay involved with the sport for my whole life, really.
It seems as well, a lot of the other coaches that you've had on the pod and, you know, other interviews that I've seen from all different sports coaches, you know, it does seem that way, you know, that it just, they're always the hardest workers. And, you know, I think coaches maybe overanalyze things sometimes, and when you're competing, you can't really afford to do that. It's just, you know, there's got to be a flow to it, you know. I think, and the personality type of a coach really does, they overthink and overanalyze, and they want to know everything and that kind of way. And I just don't think that personality trait really works for a top level athlete, you know.
No, yeah.
But it works very well for a coach.
So we've got you on the podcast today to talk about the training model that you use within your work at City of Belfast. You use USRPT, ultra short race pace training. For those listeners that aren't aware of what USRPT is, they might not have read much into it, or they've not heard of it before. Why don't you just give us a brief kind of background on what USRPT is?
Okay, so USRPT, like you've said already, ultra short race pace training. It's, in one word, you can basically summarize the whole philosophy around it as specific. It's just specific to race pace training. So the sort of the background around it is that, you know, they don't see the value in doing any slow swimming. It's all about doing stuff at a specific pace, and that's basically the crux of it. In terms of, it's really simple. It's a really simple set format to understand. So if you take the 200 freestyle and say your personal best time is 2 minutes, to develop the training for that event, you would basically take your 200 meters and divide it by four. So you split into 50 meter intervals.
Yep.
And the time that you want to hit is the 2 minutes, your PB time divided by four.
Yep.
Okay, so the 30 seconds. So basically you're trying to hit those 50 meter intervals. Every single one you want to try and hit in under 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So 30.01 would be, you know, you done.
That's a failure. Yeah.
So it basically anything under 30 is the target, and the rest is quite a key thing. So for anything, and also I should probably say that you know you can apply it to any distance, any yeah, race. So the 100 again divided by four, split it into 25 meter intervals. The 400 is 100 meter intervals. So depending on where you're working, for 200 and above, it's a 20 second rest interval, and from the 100 is 15, and that's basically just to make sure that you're working aerobically the whole time. So if you're taking any longer rest, it's sort of the optimal amount of rest that you want to be taking. So if say you're taking, you know, a minute between each one, you know, your heart rate's going to abate, and it's going to become, you know, you're not going to be utilizing your aerobic system properly. And the same with 100, you know, that 15 second rest is sort of the key element. With the USRPT as well. So that's basically how you would construct a set in simple forms. The other thing is the way that the cycles are split up.
Yeah.
So basically it's split into a macro cycle, an 8-week macro cycle, and each micro cycle within that focuses on a different element of technique. So you've got, streamline, breathing, body roll, initial action, the power phase, end of stroke, recovery, and then kicking. So each week will focus on that different element of technique. And I quite like that, that format. For me, you know, I struggle with, I see a lot of technique sessions go on, and it's, you know, a lot of like doing this and doing that, and a lot of different a mixture of things coming in. And if you're really trying to change technique, it's about repetition.
Yeah.
But if you're doing, you know, something here and something completely different there, and then you're mixing everything together, I think, you know, if you're trying to develop technique, it sort of confuses, it can confuse things a little bit. Whereas if you're just focusing, okay, this week we're just working on that initial action, the catch phase, you know, and just repeating drills specific to the catch, and then taking it into a USRPT set, you can just focus on that one element of the stroke. So if we go back to, you know, say you're working for the 200 free, you know, and you're doing your 50 meter intervals, you know, each 50 meter interval, you're trying to hit your target time, but technically you're focusing on that catch phase, and that's your primary focus for that session.
So in terms of USRPT as a wholesome model, it was originally proposed by a guy called Dr. Brent Russell.
Mm-hmm.
And his kind of original kind of plans for it is that whenever you swim, you only swim at that kind of race pace.
Yeah.
And I've read a few papers on it, and it seems to suggest that there's no real place in the program for slow swimming, like you say. But in terms of developing technique, you mentioned there about doing drills and stuff like that. How does that fit into the USRPT? Because I was under the impression that Dr. Russell's plan didn't really have time for drills and slow practice of technique.
Yeah. It's an interesting one. The way I run my program is we do slow swimming, because I think with the athletes that I'm working with, you know, primarily sort of, you know, coming out of that train to train phase and the train to compete phase, so their age group swimmers, you know, sort of 14 to 18, just before they're about to leave school, and that you do need that element of technique. Now, what I will say is that anytime we focus on technique, we do build it up throughout. So say, right, okay guys, today we're going to be working on this, and we start off slowly, and then we just build it up throughout the session. You know, say we're working, I don't know, 30 minutes on technique. You know, the first 10 minutes might be super slow, second 10 minutes sort of more moderate, but still working drill and still working technique, but it's just repeated faster. And then the last 10, we're swimming somewhere close to, you know, full speed. And I don't think that's any different to anything anybody else does, really. Yeah. You know, you just sort of progress that on.
So you've adapted what Brent Russell's plan, ideal plan would be, to kind of suit the situation that you're in.
Yeah.
That's good. I think it's important that coaches recognize that you can't just copy a model and paste it onto your own program. You've got to adapt it to fit that.
No, 100%. And, you know, my program, I basically split into three components of endurance, power, and technique. So the technique section, you know, I would say yes, probably the majority of it would be slow swimming. We still do try and fit it into the macro cycle that I talked about before, that technique, we still try and fit it into that and build it up throughout the session. And then one of the other components I mentioned was endurance, and that's really where we utilize the USRPT. So for me, you know, we don't work within training zones. So, you know, adaptations occur at a cellular level, not in a training zone.
Yeah,
so that's why I basically don't use training zones. I just work specific pace. So if I, in our program, and I think, you know, this is common within other age group programs as well, is you're trying to develop that sort of 200 IM swimmer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
we work primarily 50 meter intervals, 16 by 50 on rest 20 basically, and we just rotate through the strokes.
So you do four on fly, four on back, or is it one of each?
No. So pretty much within the week. So say we have six sessions. I'm thinking probably when we go back after things return back to normal, we'll probably go 4 days of 1 day fly, back, breast, free.
Yeah. So you work through the week, you work each stroke. Yeah.
And then the other two sessions, one, and this is the early part of the season, one session will be 100 pace. So we're switching to the 25s, and that'll probably be on their main stroke.
Yeah.
And then the other session will be on something that they call overspeed. So it's basically just the same thing, but for 50 pace, and you basically just take the section of the 50. So in the short course season, we might do in and outs, you know, like sort of 15 in, 15 out or something, but at that sort of speed that we want. So you just take that section. And I think Dave Marsh does something similar there with that. You know, he just takes sections of the race.
Yeah.
So that's what we use for the overspeed. And then the other thing I should probably say in terms of how we've adapted what Rush Hall said was, I think, you know, that the magic number they're probably looking for is 16, so that four times race distance. So if we're working 200 pace on 50 meter intervals, we'll do the 16:50s. One thing that probably I've adapted from what he's doing and what you'll probably see Michael Andrew doing,
mm-hmm.
I think they pretty much work that 16 or above all year round. The volume doesn't really change.
Yeah.
We'll probably decrease the closer to, you know, so at the beginning of the cycle, we'll probably have 16:50s on rest 20 and then in the first half of the cycle, and then towards the second half of the cycle, the closer it gets to our main competition, we'll reduce the volume down to maybe four. And we'll also reduce the rest down, so it becomes more like a broken sort of anaerobic power type swim.
So you mentioned there you do, like, for your 200s, you do 16:50s.
Yeah.
If you had a swimmer that was working, so would you only use 50s to work on a 200 and you only use 25s to work on 100? Is that how you work it?
Yeah, pretty much. For the yeah. endurance, for the endurance element of my program, yeah, we just stick to that pretty much. Yeah.
So you get a swimmer working for like a 400 meter event, you'd go on 100s?
Yeah.
So let's go back to a little bit more about kind of you and your development through coaching. What made you switch over to using USRPT? Has it been the model you've only ever used, or have you moved over to it from using a different model before?
No, so when I originally got into coaching, I think, again, the same as what everybody does, they basically copy what they did when they swam and competed and sort of implemented into their own program. And that's basically how I started. So probably, you know, the program that I would have swam would be like the Albrecht type program.
Yeah, right.
You know, so your capacity and your power work, and that's basically how I started off with my coaching as well. And then I don't know, certain influences, I suppose, from like looking at what other sports were doing, and, you know, just sort of when you get into coaching, you're researching around the topic and stuff, and you see these different arguments, and the question just kept popping up in my head. It was like, why do we need to do all this volume to swim an event? You know, like, I think the classic argument with it is this quality versus quantity, and it's like, you wouldn't see Usain Bolt, who runs the 100 meters, training like Mo Farah, who runs, you know, the 5 or the 10k.
Yeah.
You wouldn't see it. And, you know, Bolt's training would be specific to the event that he's doing. It wouldn't get him in, do him any over distance training. And those sort of questions sort of bounced around my head. The other thing that sort of popped up was the program that I was working in when I first started coaching was a really small program, and we didn't have much pull time. And I was sort of trying to find clever ways that you can maximize, you know, say you've got four sessions a week, three, four sessions a week, and you're trying to maximize the time you've got in the water. And I remember going on a, I think it was my level one coaching course, maybe, because I'd already done my teaching courses. And I think it was my level one coaching. And I remember just talking to the tutor, and I was, and he actually brought it up, and he said, you know, I've been trying out this USRPT program. You should check it out. There's loads of, you know, stuff out there, like loads of content out there that you can look at. And I went back and I looked at it, and I was sold on it straight away. And I was like, I think you know, this could be the next thing. This is where the sport is gonna probably move towards. And then we started implementing it into the program.
So did you notice once you made that switch over from kind of an Albrecht model over to towards USRPT, did you notice a difference in results?
Initially, no. I think that the key thing with any program or any sort of training model that they're using is that your swimmers probably buy into it, and I think that's the key thing. And it took, if you've trained a certain way your whole life, from your whole swimming life, so say you started swimming at 10 and you go all the way through to 16, you've done 6 years of training using a certain model, and then for someone just to be like, right, we're gonna do something completely different, you know, it will shake you up a little bit, and you will need time to sort of be sold on it. Yeah. But I think, you know, the fastest way to get to you know, to win buy-in there from swimmers is just getting results. So initially, you know, I think there was a little bit of confusion as to what we were trying to do, and I think, you know, the results probably weren't really where we wanted them to be. And I remember going to that first competition whenever we first implemented it. So I would say we'd implemented it about six, seven weeks. So, you know, a good amount of time, and the results weren't really there where we wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm going to persevere with this and maybe tweak a few things. Because don't forget, I was still sort of, it was new to me as well. And we were still sort of through a few teething problems. And then probably about 8 weeks later, we did another block of it. And then we went to our regional championships, and we did really, really well. I think it was probably the best at the club in terms of medal coming in. And I think 100% PB, you know, success and stuff like that for all the swimmers that were entered. So, and that was sort of the moment that it clicked with me. And I was like, right, okay. So to start off with, a bit shaky, but I think that's the same of anything. You know, you're going to have those teething problems, and yeah, then push through. But I basically had to figure it out on my own, you know, how to implement it into the program. There wasn't, you know, I looked at the research and sort of watched the content, but there wasn't too much out there. So I sort of tried to implement it on my own. I got a few things wrong, so we tweaked those things. And then we got the results in the end. The tricky thing, the swimmers, again, like I said before, the easiest thing to win swimmers and get buy-in from swimmers is results, really. You know, if they see themselves improving, you know, it's quite easy to win them over. It was actually the parents that were the committee that were the tricky sort of ones to win over. Yeah. You know, probably lost that battle a little bit. You know, it basically ended up getting to a stage where the program that I was in, I was given an ultimatum, basically like, look, you know, other programs are doing it the traditional way, of you know, measuring it on volume and this kind of thing. And basically they were just like, look, you've got an ultimatum, you know, read between the lines here. We're putting the pressure on and be like, if you don't, you know, implement the program you were doing before, or the program that other people are doing, we're just not going to renew your contract. And that's what happened. But that's what happened. You know?
Even with the success you had using the US RPT model, they still want it to be
I think the main issue with the was US RPT is based around, you know, neural failure. So the big question around it is, you know, and this was the question I initially had from my background in swimming, is, you know, how can you train at race pace every single day without, you know, being able to recover properly?
Yeah.
The answer is that it's all, rather than swimming the physical failure, like you would, you know, in a traditional program where your glycogen levels become depleted and, you know, you begin to drop off. With USRPT, it's done neurally. So it's a small failure. It's not a deep failure. So the recovery time is less. So yes, you're swimming at race pace. But because like I said before, that your target time is 30 seconds for 200 free.
Yeah.
And if you're at 30.01, you know, there's going to be a little bit of human error in that with me, you know, timing as well. So if you're teetering around that target time and you're over it, you know, that's why it's a neural failure. So you're becoming closer and closer to it. You cut it there, you rest, and then within that 16:50s or what you know, or 20, whatever you're using, the magic number being 4 times race distance, so the 16:50s. You have basically 3 lives within that set.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you're, or if you feel 2 back to back, you know, you're, you know, that's basically the end of the set and you're just not in a place to be able to swim the set properly today. So there's that side of it as well. So it's based around neural failure, and that's how you can swim fast, swim that race pace every day. And then the other thing is just, you know, common sense. It's like if your athletes are coming in, and they're saying, look, you know, I'm absolutely busted today. I it's just the feedback from the athletes, like any coach would, and then be like, okay, right, well, will we be not do it today? Because you don't want to affect their confidence either.
Of course, yeah. So you say you use it kind of in like an IM based program.
Yeah.
Have you found, obviously, in terms of its effectiveness with different strokes, that it has a higher efficacy with some strokes than others, or is it pretty even across the board?
No, I haven't noticed any difference in like improvement within the stroke, or the rate of improvement within the strokes. I mean, I did it on sort of your main stroke based program. So, you know, you would do, say, at the beginning of each cycle, we would basically say, right, you know, what events are you going to be focusing on for the meet at the end of the cycle, and say it was flying free, then they're the sets that they would do all week. And I just think that you know, initially when we tried that out, it worked well and it was specific to those events, but you're not really developing the whole swimmer. And there's countless examples of swimmers that have gone on, you know, when they're like 18, 19, and they've competed all their swimming career on flying free, and then suddenly, you know, they're world class at backstroke, you know.
Yeah.
So I wasn't comfortable probably just, you know,
pigeonholing
all the time. So then we switched to the IM program, and it's worked a lot better. But no, the answer to your question, probably not. No, it works any stroke, any distance, you know, it's all about buy-in from your swimmer, basically.
So as you move through a block of training, how do you kind of track the progress with the model? Are there any kind of test sets you've used, or do you just measure that maybe 1 week they can manage 12 of the 50s without having to drop out, and then the next week they do 14 of the 50s without dropping out?
Yeah. I think USRPT itself is, you know, pretty much a test set. And we turn it in, we try and turn it into a little bit of a game and try and create a little bit of competition, you know, through basically their lives lost in that sense. So if you've got your 1650s and you basically end up with a score, so if you're getting to six, if you're completing the set and doing all 1650s, but you've missed two of them, so you've two neural failures within that set.
Yeah.
You know, then the next time we do the set, you know, we're going to try and hit one. And then the next time we're going to try and hit zero. And basically you want to get to a stage where you're swimming all 1650s under your target time.
Yeah.
And then we drop the target time down. So that's one way that we, you know, use it. So a test set within itself, you know, that's what USRPT is. And then we'll also use a pulse plot set, which was sort of like, you know, produced by Dave Salo. And it's basically just a step test. And it, you know, it can measure, you know, your physiological adaptations, and your rate of recovery as well. So it keeps me in line. So we'll maybe test that every 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And it sort of keeps me in line, so I know, you know, okay, right, I'm not doing too much of, you know, this, or I need to do a little bit more of this, you know, or back off from it a little bit, or I need to maybe put in a little bit more volume and maybe step it up to 2050s rather than you know, the pulse plot is an effective sort of test set that I would use. And the other one is just simply an efficiency test, and that's sort of how we measure sort of technical gains that we're getting.
So this pulse plot test, you said it's like a step test. Is it just like a 7200 step test, or is it
eight 100s on rest about 2:30-3 minutes, and you take your heart rate straight after you've swam, 30 seconds after you've swam and a minute after you've swam. And the basically you just, the first 100's at 70%, then 80, 90, 100, and then you go 100, 90, 80, 70, and basically, you know, you just look at, you put the results into Excel and you can see how the graph shifts,
see how quickly you're recovering and stuff,
yeah,
like that,
see your recovery time and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. So what do you feel, you said it's kind of the specificity of the program that kind of jumped out to you. What do you feel that it provides that the other models miss out? Because you can argue that you can get specificity within other programs as well. So what does it provide that others don't?
Yeah, I think you've pretty much hit the nail on the head. It is just the specifics of, you know, we're training endurance, and we're being like, right, okay, rather than swimming, you know, at some maximal pace for an over distance amount or a certain volume, we're going to say, right, I want you to hit your, you know, target race pace, you know, specific to the event that you want to do, and that's how we're going to train your endurance. We're not going to do it at like a sub-maximal level or anything like that. I think I mentioned before, you know, that the physiological adaptations happen at a cellular level, not within a training zone. So that's the way we choose to do it. In terms of the other pros of the program, you know, I probably mentioned this earlier. It's like you hear a lot of coaches, oh, you have to do the long, boring stuff. And, you know, that quote's banded around quite a lot. And I'm just like, I think the question, the answer back is, well, why? You know, why do you have to do long? Why does it have to be boring? You know? And I think that's it. I think it introduces a little bit of an element of fun, especially with younger kids, you know, that you can get them out, half the group doing a USRPT set and half the group on poolside, and you could have the group on poolside timing, you know, their mates who are in the pool, and then you switch over, you know, and it just creates that element of fun, and like it's just something a little bit different for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think as well, I mentioned before about the technique cycles, rather than focusing on, you know, a collection of things all clumped together, you're just focusing on one specific action of the stroke
for a whole week. Yeah,
in a week. Yeah.
So kind of flipping it around now, would you bring any kind of areas from other methods of training in to support the model? Do you think it kind of lacks anything at the moment?
Yeah. So I think through the research I've done and through the feedback I've sort of got from parents and swimmers and other coaches about it is, you know, the concerns, I can probably touch on a couple of them. One of them being, you know, logistically, because you're timing somebody on a neural failure, so it is going to come down to such a fine margin. You know, how is that logistically possible to do with, you know, if you've got 30 kids in the pool?
Yeah.
So that's something that I had to really quite, you know, think hard about. You know, one of the options I've already talked about is, you know, you split the group in half. You've got one group timing and one group actually performing the set. And again, that's just going to take a little bit of time to educate the swimmers on, you know, how to actually time, you know, and make sure they're doing it properly so they're not messing it up for somebody else. So that's just going to take a little bit of education and a little bit of time. The other options that we looked at were sort of alternatives to it. So we look at like an AMRAP type thing, where you're going as many rounds or reps as possible. So I say, right, okay, we're allocating 30 minutes to this, and I want you to try and swim an interval at your target pace. So if we use the 200 free as an example, we're going to say, right, okay, I want you to swim 50 meters at your 200 free pace. The group does it, they get their time, and basically they can swim down or rest, and then they communicate with the coach and say, right, okay, I'm ready to go again. And then you just basically try and accumulate as many reps. So one successful rep would be, okay, you've hit, you know, the 50 meters at your target time, and you basically just repeat that throughout the 30 minutes. So say you get a score of 12 reps, you know, like successful reps within the 30 minutes, then you come in the next time and try and do 13, 14. So it's kind of the same philosophy, and it's maybe like a good way to build up towards doing a USRPT set. And then I suppose the next step from there would be doing one-on, one-off. So, you know, you just do a one-app pace, one-off, one-app pace, one-off like that. And I think it's probably it's not completely, you know, like where you would want to be in terms of what a USRPT set is.
Yeah.
But it's sort of building towards it. And it's sort of getting the idea, especially if you've got a bigger group. I think one of the other criticisms of the program would be, you know, does it develop true aerobic capacity?
Yeah.
You know, and I think, again, I'm not a sports scientist, but, you know, there's different ways to develop aerobic capacity. You know, you can swim fast, slow, and that kind of way. You can just do it, you know, sub-maximally. But I think that aerobic capacity is important, obviously, and I think that USRPT training somewhat misses out on developing those sort of type 1 muscle fibers.
Yeah.
you know, you're primarily, you know, developing your glycolytic, you know, fibers.
You wouldn't use it for a swimmer.
Yeah, so I think that is one criticism, and the way that I've got around that is, you know, trying to stick towards my philosophy is, you know, when we're in the pool, it has to be specific and it has to be at a certain pace and it has to be done fast. Well, the question I started asking myself was, you know, well, why do we need to do our type 1 fiber development or your aerobic capacity development in the pool, especially when, you know, pool time is so scarce, you know, it's difficult to get a hold of. So we have started to implement our aerobic capacity work outside of the pool. So, you know, I don't think that to develop your aerobic capacity necessarily needs to be done in the water. You know, if the purpose of your aerobic capacity is to build a bigger engine,
yeah,
and to speed up your recovery, I think, you know, you can do that through land based activity just as well as you could, you know, in the pool, and leave the pool to specific type training.
So again, I think that's like another adaptation you've made to the program, because I think if you look at the perfect plan as per Brent Russell's papers and stuff, suggests against the use of like land training exercises. It kind of maybe goes against his idea of specificity. So it's just an example there of how you've perhaps adapted it to kind of meet the needs that the program has.
It does go against the specifics in a way that it's not in the water. But it's also, you know, it's almost taking it's going around the fact that, you know, okay, you know, USRPT is primarily, if you're going to class it in a training zone, it's probably aerobic power, you know, VO2 max type training. And, you know, to develop that capacity, and that's what we'll do, and it's quite easy to prescribe, you know. So if I see a swimmer who is really, really, you know, can hit pace all the time, but plateaus and they're not really, you know, being able to, they're always sort of getting one neural failure, or they're hanging in around, they're almost there, but they can't quite tip over the edge. Well, maybe we need to work on their capacity a little bit more. But instead of, you know, doing it in the pool, we'll say, right, I want you to introduce, you know, 2 bike sessions a week. Here's the thing, the type of thing, aerobic capacity work I want you to do on it. Here's a program for 6 weeks. Go away and do that, and then hopefully we can sort of break through that plateau and then push on to another level. So yeah, no, it is an adaptation to the program, in terms of what Rush Hall has prescribed. Yeah.
So just you've already briefly done this. Just talk me through kind of how you use it within a week. Because obviously, do you do any kind of land training weight work? Do you do any kick on its own? You've spoken about technical work. So just talk me through kind of how your week looks.
I stay away from volume. I very rarely, unless they would ask, as the athletes would ask, you know, how many, I actually don't know half the time, like what, how many meters we're actually doing. I mean, you know, if we're doing 1650s, it's quite easy to, you know, to add that up. But in terms of, you know, a 2-hour session, we, like I said before, the components to my program is endurance, technique, and power. So the endurance side of things I've pretty much covered is based around, you know, the USRPT model. Or if we need to work aerobic capacity, we'll do it out of the pool. Technique, we work through the USRPT macro cycle on each stroke throughout the week. And then the third one's power. And I really like the stuff that Dave Salo's done. So Sprint Salo's his stuff. I really like it. It's kind of similar, to USRPT, and then everything's done at pace. Everything's done fast. You know, there's not too much slow swimming. But with the power work, it's pretty much, we use a lot of equipment, so a lot of resistance stuff. Yeah. That would probably be another downfall to a pure USRPT program. You know, if you're just swimming with no resistance all the time, you know, yes, you're getting certain adaptations, but you're not really developing your strength.
Yeah.
In the water. So our power work is primarily resistance, and that would cover pull, kick, you know, underwater work, parachutes, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we just implement that in. So in terms of what a week would look like, so we will probably do day one, it'll be 200 race pace, butterfly 200 race pace, and then day two we'll work a little bit more power, maybe a little bit more resistance work with different bits of equipment, and we'll do 100 pace. Day three and four, we'll go back to doing 200 pace work. Day five, we'll go back to doing power work again, a little bit more resistance, and we'll do some overspeed work. So your 50, race pace 50s, and break the sections of the race down. And then the final day, we'll do one more set of 200 pace. So it basically follows, you fly, back breast, and then free. And we'll rotate the strokes as well. So it won't be, you know, every week it will follow like that IM order. So we might go, and next week we'll probably do
that. Very cool.
As well, because that fits in, we primarily train in a short course pool.
Yeah.
And on a Saturday and a Sunday we get long course training. So I try and hit, you know, the Saturday we'll do race pace, 200 race pace long course, and that's why I rotate the strokes. So at least then, you know, we're not always hitting breaststroke on a Saturday. You know, we get to hit all the strokes.
Okay, that sounds interesting to see how you kind of split your week up there. I think there's a certainly coaches that I speak to, they think maybe they like the idea of USRPT, or they like what they hear, but they don't really necessarily know how to kind of implement it into their program. So that might just open some people's eyes as to kind of potentially how they could do things like that. Just to finish off, just give me, in your opinion, kind of the three most attractive points about the model, really.
Well, if I'm selling it to you, probably the three S's are, you know, specific, it's simple, and it's science based. You know, specific, I think we've covered quite a lot, you know, how specific it is to race pace. It's a simple format. I think once you get your head around it, you know, you're taking a race distance, divide it by four, and you're probably trying to hit, you know, four times race distance in terms of volume. You know, it's a simple set format. I think, you know, the complicated bit, and I think this is the same with any program, is, you know, how much do I need to do of this and how much do I need to do of that? And I think, you know, that's, I've given an example of what I do. And if that gives people a little bit of inspiration, they can adapt that, whatever. And then obviously science based, and there's so much literature out there and content on it. And, you know, I think the important thing to remember is, you know, for all the literature that proves a theory is correct, you know, there's just as much literature out there that's going to say, you know, it's wrong. And I think that's the same. I think it's up to the individual to make your own mind up, you know, research it yourself. And if it's for you, that's great. It's for you. And if it's not, that's fine. You know, there's plenty of people who've got results doing different things. Again, you know, I started this off just by, you know, trying to maximize a small amount of pool time. And it just spilled out into, you know, becoming a philosophy of coaching for me.
Well, thank you very much, Ben, for your time. It's been useful to get your insight into the model of training, having first-hand experience of using it. And I'm sure a lot of coaches will listen kind of and make up their own mind as to whether they can implement the model themselves. I just want to thank the listeners for tuning in again. Hopefully you found the episode insightful, and like I say, hopefully it will give you something to think about over the next few weeks. If you haven't done so already, go and check out our new website, www.poolsidepass.com, and check us out on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the Poolside Pass. Until next time, keep learning, and by the time this goes out, maybe we'll be back in the water. So keep coaching. Take care, guys.